Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Halloween. Thank you to Julie, Don, and Tim for being part of the video. The scripture reading is Colossians 1, 1-14, which Julie will read as part of the welcome.
Good morning. Okay, we're going to get started here. I was thinking this morning about what it was like when I was a little girl going to church and how it was just such a safe community. My dad was invited to go to Ottawa as a young man to help another young man at the time, Roy Merritt, to start a church there. And Roy really counted on my dad to do all the song leading and stuff like that. And there were a lot of new Christians in the church back then. They were starting something new. And I remember we used to always gather together just before Sunday school. The adults and the children would be together, and we would sing songs together. And I don't know what made me think of it this morning, but we used to sing this song about shaking hands. And I was thinking, oh, it's Halloween. Everybody's come with their masks. Good job, everybody. And how different it is now than when I was a little girl, when we used to sing a song called Shake Hands and Be Friendly. And the entire church would be shaking hands. And at the end, we would shake, shake, shake. And I remember my brother used to get completely carried away and practically tear your arm off. But we don't have quite that much physical contact when we get together, but there's still lots of love. So glad to see all of you here today. And if you're watching this on video next week, we miss you. We look forward to being together again with you again soon, hopefully soon. Our numbers are going down, 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 and I have lots of hope that it will be soon. We're going to wish happy birthday. I'm looking to see, I don't see them here today. Ellis and Heather M. both have birthdays this week, so if they come along later, you can wish them a happy birthday. The time change is coming up next week, so don't forget about that. We have a few prayer requests. Jeff and Jan's nephew is being baptized this morning, so that's exciting, and we wish him a really, you know, good Christian life moving forward. Diane has asked that we pray for her neighbor Irene, who is undergoing open heart surgery tomorrow. That's a very serious surgery. I have an uncle in Sarnia who has been hospitalized all week, also experiencing some heart problems. So if you could keep my Uncle Jack in your prayers, that would be lovely. We're hoping he's turning a corner, but it's still a little iffy. He was in ICU as of yesterday. So if you will, bow your heads with me. Let's just say a quick prayer before our reading. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for all the rain that we've had this week and for the beautiful sun that we're enjoying today. Thank you for the colors of autumn that remind us of all the changes and how you're always with us, taking us through the seasons and bringing us out to the new seasons. Please bless us today as we gather together. Give us open hearts and open minds, that we might learn something and that we might be a blessing to one another. We are praying for the young man that's being baptized this morning and rejoicing with him, as we know all the angels are rejoicing in heaven. We also pray for Diane's neighbor and for my uncle, who are dealing with heart problems. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard of it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Morning, everyone. Happy that you're with us today. I hope that you'll put up with my voice. It's been a bit raspy the last couple of days, but I'll do my best. I don't know if you remember the video and the song called Thriller by Michael Jackson. If you remember the video, it's a really interesting video. Michael Jackson and his girlfriend are watching a movie, and it's a scary movie. And so they can't watch it anymore, so they go out and they start walking home. And as they're walking and talking, the music is playing in the background, and Michael Jackson's music is phenomenal. And all of a sudden, he himself is turning into some kind of vampire. And it's just a horrible scene when people start coming up out of the grave and everything else. But the music is what grabs the attention. Really a powerful, powerful song. And Michael Jackson, using all this makeup, turns into a zombie himself. It was scary, but it was also fun. There is, there is a unique scripture in Matthew 27 that really is like a Halloween scripture, if there is such a thing. It's about people who had died. And when Jesus died on the cross, listen to what the scripture says. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came up out of the tombs and went into the city and appeared to many people. Cool story. And my mind just started to say, well, wow, imagine the people who went to the funeral of this loved one and all of a sudden they come home. Or there's Bill. I've known Bill all my life. I was at his funeral. Where'd you come from? I was there. It was a resurrection. And if you've noticed, if you've ever watched scary movies around Halloween and so forth, there's always some kind of coming up out of the grave. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but in Halloween, there's these demonic forces all around. But that's not what Halloween is about. Halloween is not demonic. It's fun, especially for children, most who get dressed up in their costumes and going from door to door and giving candy and receiving candy. Barb and I love it. We love children coming to our home and watching kids as they're excited and happy about things. There's nothing demonic about it. We stay away from demonic forces. So Halloween is not demonic. But the Bible does talk about demonic forces that are in this world. One day, when Christ returns, all demonic forces will be gone. But there are scriptures that remind us to stay away from those things that God wants us to have no part of. So today, I just want to look at a couple of scriptures with you. It's not going to be a long sermon at all. But just notice a couple of these scriptures that talk about this. The first one I want to share today is in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13 and going through to 23. This is Paul. And it says, "For Christ has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son," he loves, "in whom," listen, "we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. He," meaning Christ, "is the visible of the invisible. He is the image of the invisible, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." Now, listen to what Paul says about Jesus. "For by Jesus, all things were created." Somebody says, "Well, wait a minute. We don't know anything about Jesus until the New Testament. What do you mean?" No. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they have always existed. Time has no factor, no beginning, no end. The firstborn over all of creation, even people who don't acknowledge him or admire him. "For by him, all things were created, created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Take Jesus out of the equation, none of us exists. We would be gone just like that. Take Jesus out of any occasion, and it makes no sense. All of creation itself is from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you are not a coincidence. You are not someone who came into the world by accident. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. God knew you before he created anything. He knew the exact time and places in which you would live. He is before us. He is in us. He is in our future. Doesn't it make sense to hold on to him because he holds on to you? He always has. So Paul, in these simple words, just blows us away by saying, this is how important God feels about us. It says in verse 17, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Take Jesus out of any equation, nothing exists. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness, God's fullness, dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and maybe you remember that. Once you were alienated from God, and maybe enemies in your own minds because of evil behavior. But now he has, listen to this, reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight with blemish and free from accusation. His death brings us life. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. These are powerful words by the Apostle Paul, reminding us that we are always in the arms of God. And because of Jesus, God already sees us seated with him in the heavenly realms. In other words, God not only knows us and sees us, but one day we're going to see him, know him, love him when he creates a new heaven and earth that comes together as one. I always thought there was a difference between heaven and earth. Well, I guess there is. Many of us have loved ones who we believe firmly are in heaven. And even though they may have passed many years ago, you still feel them. You still know they're there. You still hear their voice. In fact, there are times when you laugh because you think of occasions when there was something funny that happened and took place. They aren't just the past. The past isn't just, that's it. No, no. In Christ, all things come together, past, present, and future. We will all be together again. Demonic forces have no strength eternally. I'm not suggesting that we not be careful about getting into things that are of the occult. We want nothing to do with that. But the scripture reminds us of how powerful God loves us in a powerful way. For example, in the book of Ephesians, and this is really an outstanding passage of scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, such a positive scripture, amazing scripture. Here's what he says. As for us, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed in the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And then he says, all of us also lived among them at one time. We've done things we shouldn't have done, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. I would never want to be called that. This is a person who's an object of wrath. Well, I guess we've done things in the past that maybe aren't the greatest. But then he says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy or forgiveness, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. God doesn't see people as sinners. He sees people as his children, and he's encouraging them, and he's bringing situations, and he's bringing words, and he's bringing events so that people can know him as he knows them. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were in our transgressions. It is by grace, an amazing gift, that you have been saved. And listen to what he says next. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Someone says, well, I'm still here. But yeah, God sees us already with us, already with him, all of us together with him. And when one day God renews heaven and earth, when heaven and earth come together as one, these heavenly realms and the earthly realm come together as one, that we're part of that. And if we can't get happy about that, I don't know what we can be happy about. It's an amazing passage of scripture that brings us into his glorious kingdom. So I'm going to skip to verse 8, where it says, it is for by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from ourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. Amazing. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God already encouraged us before we were born to do good works. And he's still encouraging us. And I know that so many of you continue to do good works for so many people in this world. And God sees it and knows it and appreciates it and loves you because of it. Because of Jesus, we are able to conquer death. So there's a book that we don't read very often. It's not the easiest book to read. It's the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, there are unique scriptures. It says this, "Since the children," that means us, "have flesh and blood, he too," Christ, "shared in our humanity, so that by his death, he might destroy the one who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by fear of death." Does death frighten you? It's not something I really want right now. But does it frighten you? It's going to be part of all of us. But I believe the scripture is teaching us the moment that you close your eyes for the last time, they're opened instantly, looking into the face of Jesus and looking into the face of our loved ones. Hebrews 2 is a reminder of these powerful scriptures that we too shared in humanity. And verse 15, "and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it's not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants." That's us. "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted." He's able to help those of us who are being tempted. Never think for a moment that you are alone. And when fear comes, you can push it away because you remember that God is with us and will never leave us and has never left you for a moment. Chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews, just a couple of verses, beginning in verse 24, it says, "For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence," to appear for us. Jesus, when he left this earth and went to heaven, encourages us by appearing into heaven for us. Jesus represents us before God. He presents us before God. It's powerful what God allows for us while we are here. Never for one moment are you alone. Surrounding you and inside you is the presence of God. Verse 25 says, "Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way of the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself for us." It's powerful. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those of us who wait for him. What God did for the apostles, what God did for the saints, God does for you and I. If you think that you're low on the totem pole of God's love and grace, please wipe that out of your memory. Create the new memory. He's always been for you. He knew us before we were born. He knows us now. He fills us. He never wants us to be alone. When fear comes, God knows it. His arms are around you. When difficulties come, he knows it. When loved ones pass, he knows it. One day it'll be our turn. And all of us will be together again. See the face of God? Oh, yeah. See the face of Jesus? Oh, yeah. The face of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, and talk and talk and talk and talk all you want. And see the faces of your loved ones. Oh, yeah. They see us. They see us even now. One day, we'll be all together. One day, we will all come together as one. So what God did for the saints, God does for us. Listen to what Paul says. 2 Timothy 4. The Lord stood right by my side and gave me strength. The Lord will give me strength from every evil attack and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. And then Peter says, this divinity is extended to us. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. His divine power, now catch this, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God's glory and goodness, and he puts us right in the middle of it. We don't have to do anything. He just puts us in the middle of it because that's how he feels about us. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may, watch this, participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Again, God already sees you with him because he's always been with us. Always. So then lastly, God shares his wisdom with us. This is a scripture that we've read many, many times. It's found in the book of James, sometimes called a book of wisdom. And listen to what he says, and then I'll be finished. A question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Well, I know we have a lot of wise people in our audience, wise people listening to this. And there are people who understand scripture very, very well. But then here's what he says. Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. If you're here today and you have a vendetta against someone, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Someone says, well, you don't know what that's all about. I don't have to know it. God has forgiven you of your sins. Get rid of it. If God forgives us, we need to forgive each other. We need to forgive people who love God, and we need to forgive people who couldn't care less about God. Forgiveness is part, listen, of the wisdom of God. Pretty soon, after forgiving people more and more and more, it becomes easy. Because you know how much we have in need of forgiveness. And it's been given, and it will, over and over and over again. But the writers here says, in James, he says, be wise, do this, practice forgiveness on an ongoing basis because God forgives us. And he says, this wisdom doesn't come down, because this wisdom is from heaven. It's not demonic. But there are things, such wisdom does not come from Satan. There you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submission, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers, forgivers, who sow in peace and who forgive constantly, raise a harvest of peace and righteousness for all who come along in your life. Happy Halloween and have fun.
That's a long way up here now. So there's a joke going around that probably is based a little bit in truth about this year's scariest Halloween costume. Apparently, there's a contest for that. And the scariest costume is a mask, and it looks like somebody not wearing a mask. If somebody comes to your door and rings your bell and it looks like they're not wearing a mask, maybe they are, and it's just meant to scare you. That's tied first place. The tying costume is one of Alec Baldwin carrying a prop gun, which could be scary too. I appreciated the video at the beginning about the traditions, the origins, the history, Halloween, how it's tied in with what I thought was called All Saints Day, but I didn't see that up there. They had a different name for it. Anybody remember All Saints Day? That used to be on the calendar. I don't know if it still is. But what I want to talk about a little bit is Halloween and how we treat the dead. First Halloween, when I was living in Taiwan and my kids were about the age that trick-or-treating might be fun, we went to some friends and neighbors and asked them if they'd like to participate. And they're like, "You want my kids to dress up in a silly costume and go door-to-door begging for candy?" It didn't go over very well. It's a little bit better now. When I lived in Mexico, though, they had a wonderful time of Halloween mixed with All Saints Day, mixed with El Día de Muertos, which is the Day of the Dead. And if you've seen the beginning of a James Bond movie, where it begins in Mexico City, you might have seen the parade and the celebrations, marching bands. It's very big in Mexico, November 1st and 2nd, the Day of the Dead. And I was thinking how in some civilizations, some societies now, they do a lot for the dead, for those who are no longer here. In Taiwan, in China, they have a special day in spring, often coinciding with our Easter. It's called Tomb Sweeping Day. That's what it's known as. It has another name, but people go and sweep the tombs, leave flowers. We'd sing a hymn or do other things. A lot of them would do a worshiping their ancestors. But it was a special day just for remembering the dead. In Mexico, of course, the huge celebrations, parties, dances, color, music, for to remember the dead. And I thought, well, in our North American civilization, we don't do a lot, do we? But in the church, we do. Here we are to remember the most important death ever, the most important life ever. When I was in Mexico, I did see some people who had come back from the dead, who'd come out of the tomb. I saw them. Many people who had come out of the tombs. I went to a mummy museum. And the mummy museum, when you go through, at the beginning, there's a plaque about, because some people are offended by going through this museum and seeing the mummies, and you'll see why in a second. But the plaque has some message to visitors to the museum, something about, you know, the worst thing you could do for someone who's passed away, the worst thing you could do is to forget them, to ignore them. It's so sad. So this mummy museum is here to show people, here's some people. And you walk in and it starts with people who had been living in Mexico 500 or 600 years ago. And they were dug up and they were put in this museum. And then you go a little further and there's a what they call the Asian girl or the Chinese girl. It's a little mummy of a what they have figured out is a little girl. And then you find in the next exhibit there's a mummy with child. And it means a mummy who was a mummy, the other mummy. And then you go a little further and the mummies get newer and newer. And then you find one that's wearing a suit and tie. You can tell he's wearing a suit and tie. And then you get towards the end and it looks like some of the newer mummies are wearing Nikes. Some people kind of offended by that. Like, this guy is barely rotten. But the worst thing we could do about somebody who's passed on would be to ignore them, to forget them. As a civilization, I think we're terrible about having a day, having a celebration. We don't celebrate All Saints Day. We don't go to the tomb and clean or party or something for that. But as a church, especially Church of Christ, I think we do it very well. We're here every Sunday to remember that most important, most significant life, death, life that ever happened. Last week, Alan was here, and he gave some of the instrumentals, some of the basics of why we're doing this. It's so important to Christians that we remember. We don't ignore. We don't need to celebrate or party or dance, but we remember the life, death, and life of Jesus and what that means for us. Because each civilization, each person, we build on what went before us. You're who you are because of your parents or because of what happened in the decades before you came along. It influenced your life, your civilization, your home, your society, all influenced by what went before. And we as a church, we delve into this time, into this life, death, and life as a memorial, solemn, but also with joy and thanksgiving and happiness. It's a time to remember. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, we are so grateful for Jesus, for his life, his death, and his life, for what that means for us, that we also, because we know we will die, we know that we can have new life with you. We know that someday we will wake up with you. We thank you for this opportunity to be together, to remember, to honor, to celebrate the life, the suffering, the death, and the new life of Jesus and what it means for us. We pray you bless each one here, bless the bread and wine that we're about to take, that we would take it wisely and with meaning and with celebration. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Cheers.
I don't have any further announcements, but I do want to thank everybody who participated in the planning of the worship service today. I don't know about you, but I learned several new things today, and I don't think I've ever had a worship service that centered on Halloween before, so thank you, Don, for inspiring us to think a little bit more about these things. Please bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for always being with us. We thank you that this church is comprised of people from all walks, from many different countries, different cultures, different experiences, different kinds of families, and that we can all come together with that one truth, that one perfect knowledge, that you came to earth, taught us what we need to know, and gave yourself up as the ultimate sacrifice that we all might be together as one in your church and with you for eternity. So no matter where we come from, what we've done in the past, we all walk together as brothers and sisters in your church. We give you all the praise. Praise to the Father, praise to the Son, praise to the Spirit, three in one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.